But if you go to Cookeville for donuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ralph's Donuts in Cookeville has something called a butter twist.
And it is amazing. Butter cookie.
Butter cookie returns.
Oh, man.
Butter twist cookie. Okay.
You're a butter baby.
For the first time in what feels like months, all three co-hosts on your favorite podcast, Successfully Unsigned, were in the same place at the same time doing a normal episode. We are so happy to be here back with you today with a regular episode where we talk about selling out. What is selling out as an artist? How do you define selling out? What artists do you think of as those that have sold out? Was it good for them? Was it bad for them? How does selling out differ from rebranding? Or maybe how you change and how you grow in your music. These are all really important questions, and ones that if you find success in the music industry, eventually you will have to answer for yourself, which is what we hope for each and every one of our listeners today. If you have experienced changing and rebranding as an artist, let us know in the comments down below. Find us on Instagram at successfully_unsigned. Also, do us a huge favor, hit like, hit subscribe, rate us on your favorite streaming platform, and share this with your friends. Give us your thoughts, your opinions, your hot takes on selling out as an artist.
Hey, hey, hey. We're back.
This is not my house. This is Patrick's house. What you rapping here for, man?
Yeah.
It's because it's the first time he's hearing the music.
Okay, that's
fair.
He's
jealous.
He got excited.
He's smelling. I don't know.
Well, this one smells.
This is starting out great. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm back. Did you miss me?
No.
Did you miss me? These guys held it down last week, and it was great. Go watch their episode. Honestly, I saw the thumbnail and I was like, that's a cute thumbnail.
Well, thank
you. I bet this is a wholesome episode. And it was. It was very wholesome. Yeah.
And they're our best buddies.
Best buddies. How long have you guys been friends? Just curious.
About 5 years.
Yeah, since 2019.
2019?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I thought y'all had known each other way longer than
He didn't move here. I mean, when he moved here is since we've been friends since he moved here. So you moved here in the fall of 2019.
Yeah. I've only known Patrick 6-7 months longer than you.
Really?
Yeah.
Technically met in May of 2019.
I don't remember him. He wasn't memorable.
I remember him because his shirt was like down to here.
No, it wasn't.
Was it a V-neck?
It was unbuttoned down to here.
And it wasn't.
He had these like Jeffrey Dahmer glasses.
Oh,
I did at the time. I actually did like those.
I had the big like 80s style, you know. The big, like, think aviators, but not aviators. They're clear frame.
I'll just show you a picture.
Yeah, I have them somewhere still.
I actually really like those glasses. I'm not gonna lie.
I might be able to pull them off in the right context, perhaps.
With the long hair now, yeah, I don't know. It might actually look worse.
It might look worse.
I don't know.
More creepy.
New age Jeffrey Dahmer.
So I technically met you then, and I remember we were looking for another roommate at the time, and so. I was like, oh, well, if you need a roommate, like, we're looking for somebody. Hmm. And then he moved into his own place.
Yeah, when I moved out here, I was like, I do not want roommates. I don't care how cool people are or uncool in his case. I do not want roommates.
He was over at our house.
Wow. He wants to smoke meat in peace.
Yes, I do.
Which, by the way, if you guys haven't. If you don't follow Dale on Instagram, Dale Shack Official, is it on the official channel?
It is.
It's also on his YouTube channel. I watched it today.
If you have been wanting to watch Dale smoke meat and then taste it
and slap multiple times
and hit it like it,
you slap the meat so
and
many
beat
times.
It like I it owes him money. If that's what you want.
Oh my goodness.
Dale has the content for you. I'm kidding. Well, it's cool. I did watch it.
So I've been posting little clips of it on TikTok and Instagram and things like that. And I posted one today and I posted 2 hours ago, maybe three at the most.
Yeah.
Last I looked, it was around 38,000 views and a whole ton of hate comments.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. It's great.
38,000 views is crazy.
On a video that I titled How Not to Pull Pork. And everyone's like hating the pork. They're like, this is either overcooked or it's undercooked or like it doesn't satisfy anybody.
Like foam insulation.
Yeah. Someone said like, why would you smoke a block of foam insulation? It was like one of the comments. I'm like, I actually like, I'm all there for the hate comments. Like keep throwing them at me. Cause to me, they're quite funny.
Right.
You know, but I don't
also
know.
Also follow if you hate
it. Yeah. Also, if you do hate it, and follow, and maybe it'll get better, you know, or maybe it gets worse.
Because you know that guy sharing with his friends, like, look how bad this guy is at smoking meat. And then that guy watched your video. And boom.
That's two
views right there.
I'm like, it's crazy. Because like, I don't have a popular channel.
You know why, though? It's because he used the worst TikTok audio in existence. Can you take a wild guess of what it is?
Oh, no. Is it like old, like super old?
It's not super old, but it's like early TikTok days.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, 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 no. I was like, I actually hate you for using that. Then again, I also will ironically be like, oh, no, if someone starts saying, oh, no.
Well, yes. Look, but I haven't spent legitimate time on TikTok since I first got on it a long time ago.
After the first video.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it just,
but I'm also like, I don't know what else to put because I don't spend time on TikTok. I've just been throwing this stuff up and just like, I don't know what happens. It's
trending.
Yeah, but I need something that's a little more like specific to the vibe of what's going on. In which case, that was a little bit of a fail because I was trying to pull the pork apart with forks and it was not working.
Yeah. You should put one of our clips as the soundbite, like from the show.
I told him, I said he needs to go through every single one of those comments and be like, follow my podcast for more stupidity at
Success. That's actually a good idea.
You know, I think my next video that I'm going to do, I was telling Patrick earlier, is going to be like a ranking the best of the worst comments. Like,
you know, that's actually funny. Like Cody Ko, he's one of my favorite YouTubers. He used to do that. He used to do I won't say the word, but he was just kind of like these comments and it's just him going through comments, people like misspelling things and like just not making any sense. And those videos got more views than like the actual video that the comments were on.
It's funny.
It's great.
So right now I'm at 40,500 views, 54 comments.
Yeah.
And, I'm trying to see where why would someone slow roast foam insulation?
That's good.
I was like, hey, I can't be mad at that. It's creative. It's creative. It's
to the point.
It is.
Yeah. Very to the point.
But it has a little bit of like, it's not just like, you know, calling it what it is. Rude. It's got some flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some flavor
not
to
that
it.
That meat.
Oh, dude. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I know everybody here in this comment section was like, oh, it looks bad. You hadn't cooked it long enough. Dude, it was good.
Mm. Yeah. It was mad. You were like, oh, I'm having people over on Sunday to try it. And we were not invited.
I'll get you next time.
You said that for years. That was a big
piece of meat, too.
9.5 pounds, yeah.
9.5 pounds is crazy.
I still got some in the freezer, so if y'all want to come over, got some in the freezer.
It's not the same now.
It's not.
Well, anyways, sorry we got a little sidetracked there with Dale's meat, but we're back with another episode. And
my belly. It's like the pork.
not the pork belly.
This smokes, too, but in a different way.
I was going to get into something. I'm not. I was going to. Tenderloin? I still don't know what a tenderloin is. I'm not going to get into that. We're back with another episode. Tonight we are talking about, as an artist, we're telling secrets to each other.
What?
With a squishmallow.
I don't know what he's saying.
That's what we're doing after. Right now. Topic tonight, we are talking about what not to compromise on being an artist. Artist integrity, if you will. Because we've all been at a place, well, not all of us, but you know, you hope to get to a place at some point to where you're having to kind of make decisions for your career and for for the future of what you're doing. And you want to make sure that you're also preserving who you are and what you stand for. So we will get to that in the next segment. But first we are doing Show and Yell.
That song that you were talking about before, about shouting.
Yeah.
That Dawn loves. That's what we should incorporate with Show and Yell. We should make the Show and Yell theme song.
Yes. If you guys have any, like, because we all grew up, you know, VBS church and stuff. And there was like songs, like VBS Bible school songs. Like, you know, we had Bible Bowl. Did you guys have Bible Bowl?
We didn't have, I'd heard of it. I never
was. Yeah. It was like,
I knew people who did.
It's exactly what it sounds like. And it was trivia. Just a lot of trivia and then like a lot of songs.
What's the shortest verse in the Bible?
Pretty much. That's actually a good one. And I would get it right every time. So Jesus did wept. He wept.
But where is it?
John 3:16. No,
it's not John 3:16.
I don't know the exact verse. That's another question. Okay. I got that one wrong.
How is that a separate question?
That's a separate question. But yeah, so who wants to kick us off with some Show and Yell? Dale, would you like to?
Sure.
There's no excitement in that whatsoever. Okay.
Well.
Sure.
Sure. I have a microphone that's slowly swinging toward my face.
This mic smells bad.
This one does too. I can smell the peanut butter thing, man.
I smell peanut butter.
Yeah. Like
it's not. It's like mildew or something.
Do you have like some cheese crackers on it and like some mice come and chew on it? Because that's kind of what it smells like.
It may be that like blanket. I don't know. Never mind. Continue.
If y'all want to sponsor us and get us some new microphone socks that smell better, I will do ASMR. Until you sponsor us.
That's his next meat video. He's just it doing that
be.
To the meat.
I might. Oh, well, not to the meat, but I might to like a microphone. I might do an ASMR video. Why not? I'm out here doing side quests, man.
I can see you doing that.
I'm out here doing... I love ASMR. It's great.
What's in your pack?
It's not sure microphones, but it's... Microphones!
Oh!
Pew, 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 pew. I have two microphones, which are very interesting little things. These are called Akai M8s. These are an old quarter-inch high-impedance microphone that came new with certain Akai reel-to-reel tape machines back in the late 60s, early 70s. And the reason I brought these today is because this pair, again, are original pairs to a tape machine that I was given a few years ago from my father. He got it from somewhere. I'm not sure where that particular machine came from. I think another family friend gave that one to him, but I'm not entirely sure on that specific machine. And it came with a lot of the original components, including these microphones, and they sound very interesting. They're not crystal clear like a lot of modern microphones. They have very much kind of a vintagey sound. It's very textured and it sounds so cool, especially when I run it through the tape machine that they came with. And here recently I've been going through those tape machines and trying to just see, hey, do they even work? Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of state are they in? Can I play tapes through them? If I can't play a tape through them, what do the preamps sound like? Can I run a microphone or can I play a guitar through them? A lot of people actually like taking those old reel-to-reel tape machines and turning those into guitar amplifiers.
Yeah.
Because they have a very interesting texture and they're great for clean tones. Like they're so great for just a clean clean tone guitar. So anyway, so instead of bringing the whole tape machine, I brought these two little microphones that are still in the original leather bag that they came in, along with a few other things that are in here that you can find, including spare parts for the tape machine and a little piece of paper here that has just some, you know, just kind of some random information on it about, I don't remember what, I opened it once, but it's on like wax paper almost, like really thin stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember what this is. It's instructions on how to cut and splice tape for your machine. Because this machine is a this particular machine is a consumer grade machine. It's not like one you'd find necessarily back in the day in a professional studio. So it comes with a little instructions on, some like kind of wax paper on how to use the tape cutter, which I assume came with their machine at that point in time. I don't have that tape cutter, but I have everything else that I know of, which is actually quite a bit considering that was, you know, how many decades ago? So
that's pretty cool.
It's a cool little piece. I've also been doing some, talking about YouTube stuff, some videos on these. And those will be coming out. In fact, the first video is probably coming out the same day that this episode is going to air.
Nice.
Where I just am going through. I'm already doing that stuff anyway, so took a little video. And if you want to come hang out with me while I'm going through some old tape machines, make sure you go to my YouTube channel, Dale Shack Official. So.
Wow. He's like side-chaining his own little... That's good. Just make sure you don't forget about us, Dale.
I'm just having fun with some random weird stuff, so.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can I go last?
Sure. All right.
Why are you trying to leave an impression?
So mine is going to be donut coffee cup.
Hey. Right.
So this says donuts on it. And I think a girl I was dating got me this at one point when I was in college. And, I have a funny story I kind of wanted to share about it. well, wow, it's already starting off great.
You're such a funny man.
I lived in these like college dorms or college apartments, whatever, and they were rented out separately. And so I never knew when I'd have another roommate just kind of pop in.
Yeah.
There was this one roommate that, like most of my roommates, was from Memphis. Nothing wrong with that. Love Memphis. But every roommate I had was from Memphis for some reason.
I'm from Memphis.
No, you're not.
That's why I was born there, yeah.
That's why we don't like you.
I lived the first 8 years of my life.
Wow. Love Memphis. but this guy, like, I didn't have many interactions with him, but I remember there was this one week, you know, you'd see your roommate like in the kitchen making like a hot pocket or something. You just kind of be like, what's up? And the guy was telling me that he had to get his wisdom tooth pulled or something, like one of his wisdom teeth or both or whatever. And he was like, well, I'm going to be a little loopy for the next few days. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I don't know why he told me that, but just like I came home one day and he was in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, I see him try and, like, lick this thing. Like, I just come in, and he's, like, he's got it like this, and he's, like, trying to do that to it. And I'm like, hey, bud, what are you doing? He's like, oh, it's a cup. And I was like, it was probably the weirdest thing I've ever, like, and immediately I was like, I have to move. I have to move right now. So I washed it several times, like, three times. But yeah, this is a fun little cup that will make people be jealous of you because it's just
it's amazing. Is it a Simpsons reference on the back? Because isn't that
what
Homer says?
Donuts. That's a cool cup. That'd be hard to wash inside though.
Yeah.
Being hollow like that, I bet.
I hand wash it and then I dishwashed it or machine washed. But it has that little hourglass thing in the side of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is kind of weird, but.
Mm. Like hard to wash under there and then also like kind of hard to drink out of
a little bit.
The little things, but it is really cute.
But I do kind of want to get my game up on my coffee mugs because I started to notice they're a little boring, you know, so
hit that stage of life, man.
Yeah,
I feel that.
I'm people, like, I never understood why people would get dudes a coffee mug, but now I get it.
Yeah.
Now I understand because there is no worse feeling than when you go into the kitchen and you try and make coffee and you don't have any mugs left.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I guess I can't have coffee. But you could wash one, but who wants to do that?
You don't do that.
Nobody does that. So
yeah. I have a lot of mugs and I don't drink coffee or tea or anything. Like, I don't have any sort, but that people tracks. Always buy me mugs because I guess like fun ones like that.
Yeah.
Like it's they're like
an easy thing to customize.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I do have, I'll drink water out of them sometimes when I'm out of cups. It's crazy.
Imagine putting ice in this. It'd be so goofy.
I would. Ice donut. What's your favorite donut place to eat? I feel like that's a big debate around here.
That is a big debate.
It is. I got a hot take.
Donut Country is good, but it's not like my favorite. Mm. I grew up on Krispy Kreme.
Period.
Love just Krispy because Kreme. Of like, they. I think Krispy Kreme has the best like glazed donuts, but they're very rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dunkin' is probably last on the list for me. Yeah, Dunkin' is not.
It's not coffee. The move. Dunkin' sponsor us. You know your coffee, but your donuts.
And this is a PSA right here. Freaking Five Daughters Bakery.
Okay, that's what I was gonna ask you because everyone raves about it. I've never had it.
Is so good. It will change your life, and it will turn it around for the better.
Okay, I need to try it because I've heard so many good things about it.
There's one. I'm not sure if there's one in town, but I know there's one in Franklin.
I think they're building one in the factory. Oh, really? I think I heard that, but I'm not sure.
Dude, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
I've heard great things about Five Daughters, and I had an older roommate who loved the Fat Friars. Mm-hmm. I guess it's in Nashville. I don't know.
No idea. But Five Daughters. Okay. Amazing. Dose is good too. If you've ever been to Dose.
Oh,
that's off West End. So there's a lot of great places.
See,
pastry plate, like freaking a crumble cookie has great cookies. I'm not sure if they have donuts, but
I don't think they have donuts.
My hot take is in my whole time I've been out here in Tennessee, the last 5 years, I have tried a bunch of different donut places. I don't remember where all I have. I've tried quite a few and there's only one donut shop that I actually was like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like any of the others.
I don't think he's tried Five Daughters.
I haven't tried Five Daughters. That is mm-hmm. true. So I'll give it that. I've heard a lot of good things, but I heard a lot of good things about a lot of the other places in town. I'm like, oh, cool. I love donuts. Like I love donuts. And it'd just be like so disappointing. Like this is your champion place here in
champion
town.
Champion place.
Like
is
this
great.
Is not it.
That's how I feel like Whataburger, like actual, you know,
and the Whataburger out here is not like the ones back west, but if you go to Cookville, for donuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ralph's Donuts in Cookeville has something called a butter twist.
And it is amazing. Butter cookie.
Butter cookie.
Hey. Returns.
Oh, man.
Butter twist cookie. Okay.
You're a butter baby.
You love the butter.
I cook with a lot of butter. I love butter. Butter's great.
I mean, so you're like Paula Deen.
You bet I am.
He's like the male Paula Deen. I could see
you, You bet I am. Two sticks of butter. A cooking video now?
I can't.
It's the start of many, many good ones. So but if you guys want us to make a video of us going to Five Daughters and then we'll go to Five Guys after that and then throw
and then
up,
the five spot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And the five spot, yeah.
And then the five spot.
We could do that on the day of Anastasia's show because she's performing at the five spot, but you won't be here actually, so never mind. All right, am I good to go?
Yeah, you're good to go. I guess so.
Wait.
Oh, that hurts to hear. Sounds like my bones.
Body B Bones!
I was wondering when she was coming out.
I've never done her.
Really?
It's shocking that I never have. I've just been waiting for the right moment, and then we haven't done like an episode at my place in a while. So this is Bonnie. She is my first roommate of many. And she has a little hat. I dress her up for, she has to get help getting dressed. I dress her up for different holidays. So of course, Halloween, which is her favorite, Christmas. And then just during the like kind of off season springtime, she wears this little crocheted hat that my friend Sarah made. Shout out to Sarah.
Oh, nice.
And she sits at my dining table year round.
He is a lonely man.
And, she is missing a hand. She partied a little too hard at our Christmas live show and lost a hand, but it's still there. Just have to reattach it. Just, she needs a little surgery.
I guess you could say she gave all the performers a hand.
Anyway.
All right. That's our show, guys. We'll see.
She does. Her bones are very.
Wow. Sounds like my mom walking up the stairs.
Ouch.
Like she, she was $25 at Walmart or something years ago, which for a 5 foot skeleton is a really good deal. Let me just tell y'all.
Is she taller than me?
Probably.
No. Easily.
Most women are.
Bruh.
So yeah.
Bruh.
So she just hangs out all day and chills. She went with me to a trunk or treat last year for my fiesta theme. So I put her in a little poncho and sombrero and I was dressed as a pinata, as you guys saw.
I really wanted to hit him.
This is Bonnie and she is one of many large roommates that I own.
I've been wanting to tell her she has really good posture.
She does.
Like amazing posture.
Does she, if her bones sound like that?
Well, I
feel like that's a result of bad posture and no chiropractics.
Scoliosis or any of that.
That's true. Yeah. No scoliosis. Yeah.
Just, she could eat a little more though.
Yeah. I've tried to feed her, but you know.
She doesn't. Well, she's picky.
If it's your cooking, then I don't blame her.
She literally just sits at your dining room table.
You've liked some of my cooking.
So has she always sat at your dining room table or do you move her around?
No, the only time like when she's been out, she's going to hang out over there.
Oh, that hurts so much to listen to.
She she's asleep. The only time that she's been out of the house is for the trunk or treat. She prefers to stay inside. Oh, wow. She's a bit of a agoraphobe.
Introvert. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. All right, guys. Well, we are going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with our topic for tonight. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right.
What was that about?
It's a drum roll.
That is the worst drum roll in history.
It's like a very ADHD drum roll. But yeah.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys.
Welcome back to Successfully Unsigned. Speaking of being unsigned, all you independent artists out there, how far would you be willing to go with your artistry? That is like a 60-minute question right there.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you be willing to do?
You know, what would you do?
Which is so ironic coming from you, the least serious of the three of us.
Yeah, very much so. So we went and talked about artist integrity. Integrity today. Don't laugh at me, SU podcast.
Talk about some pronunciation integrity over there. Like,
oh man.
So as an artist, you're obviously going to run into a lot of different phases in your artistry. So whether that may be you are working on a song, maybe with some other songwriters or a producer or whatever it might be, and they want to bring in some ideas or want to do something with the song that you don't necessarily want to do. Or maybe it's a performance or maybe it's with your band and they want to do something with your music, whatever it might be. Or if you kind of reach your goal of getting a label, or you're looking into labels, or labels are starting to reach out to you, what are you willing to compromise in your contract? Mm-hmm. So that's just something we kind of want to talk about today. Cause hopefully it will be very relevant. Well, it'll be relevant to everyone our artists, but especially the label one will hopefully be relevant to all of you someday.
Yeah, 100%. I think it starts at a rudimentary level I think most people can agree that it's easier to kind of do your own thing than be in a band, just because there's a lot of, it could be politics, it could be differences in like approach to writing songs,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Which again falls under politics, I guess. Differences in like ideas or drive as to like who wants to go where in the band. So I guess let's start there. Like, why do you guys think it's so hard for artists to make a band dynamic work as opposed to just their solo thing? And do you think that, you know, most of the artists that you listen to are like better off doing the solo thing, or do you think the band thing is kind of like they're gritting their teeth through it?
I think
type deal.
Look, you get a bunch of musicians together. Mm-hmm. If you're a musician, you have to have a bit of an ego, right? Like,
yes,
you're out there sharing your music, thinking that it's important enough that other people should listen. And a lot of times that is very true, but that doesn't mean that there's not some ego to that. And especially when it comes to your own songs, in a lot of ways, that's your baby. And so you want to do it your way. And it's hard for everyday people to let go of any sort of control when it comes to their projects. So whether you're in, you know, not a creative field at all, I'm sure you still have something that you're like, I want it done this way. Whether even if it's just how the towels are folded a certain way, like anything like that. It's sometimes just hard for us to let go of control. So especially when it comes to a song that we have put our whole heart and soul into, when someone makes a suggestion about something, that can be difficult to take, especially if one of the suggestions is like, I really don't think this part is good, and you think that part is what really makes the song. And so especially when it comes to bands, I think, you know, any sort of group project, it's going to be hard. Like, you see that from early school days of you're getting a bunch of different personalities together, putting it into one project. And there's going to be times where certain people don't pull their weight. There's going to be times where certain people have to be the ones to pull all the weight. And a lot of times in bands, there's usually kind of one person that is guiding a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And either that person is okay with that, and the band members are also okay with that, or that person gets fed up and the band members are like, well, I don't feel like doing all this stuff. I'm just here to play music. And it's like, okay, so as a band, we need to succeed more than just, you know, I just want to play music. Like, if you just want to play music, there's plenty of garage bands to go join. So I don't know. I think it depends. Like, there's some people who really love the solo work. I've also heard some people who have tried the solo work and were like, I didn't care for it. I prefer doing a band.
Yeah. I think a key with the whole band dynamic. And it, by the way, if you haven't watched our episode on band dynamics with Mello and Kyle, like go back and watch that. We had some good conversation about some things that may come up in those situations. Like, for instance, one of the guys I know, he's in a band, and one of the members just got married. And so it's a struggle because he's kind of splitting time with, you know, obviously his wife and also the band. And so that can be kind of a stress point. Mm-hmm. If you're in a band with someone who's kind of managing that, which obviously that's a hard one to confront them about. But I think the key is to find people that share your vision.
Yes.
And that want to contribute to the betterment of the group instead of they're out for their own sort of clout and, you know, like they're kind of looking out for themselves. Like you can tell when you're around those people, because they're actively giving ideas to the group. Like what if we ended a song this way, or, you know, maybe they have ideas about stage presence or whatever, like stuff that makes the whole band look good, you know, as opposed to just a really good player not contributing anything. Because I've been in those situations too, where I've played with really good people who just are kind of, they have that ego and they don't want to let that go and put that pride like in the drawer. And so
it's hard.
It's like they're great players, but no one can connect with them. Mm-hmm. And so playing feels like kind of a job instead of like what it's supposed to feel like, which is releasing of energy and just an experience that you're supposed to look forward to and love and all of that. So it's can be tricky.
Yet with a similar, maybe an opposite perspective, but on a similar thought, if you're in this to make your band, if you're in a band and if you're in this to make this your career, you have to treat it like a business. You have to be careful of who you take into your band. Mm-hmm. And I mean that not in just in the sense of, oh, do you mesh well as people? Because that's important. Not just, oh, are they fun to play with and are you making good music? That's obviously important. You have to believe in them. Oh, hopefully they have the skills, technical playing ability to keep that up. That's important. But you also have to look at it and think, okay, is this somebody that I can be a business partner with? Because, you know, if you were going to go start, say, any other business on the face of the planet, say you're going to start and we're talking about donuts, say you're going to start a bakery with somebody. Mm-hmm. What are the things you look for in somebody to start a bakery with? Well, hopefully, you know, they bring something to the table that brings value to the brand, to the company. Maybe they have the recipes, you know, or maybe you have the recipes and they have the public speaking communication skills, right? Somebody's got to be the front man. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be the one to go make the deals, right? You know, you have all those roles, all those skills, and you have to look at it and say, can I, as a business, take this person with me into this, you know, agreement? Because that's what you're making. Mm-hmm. You're making a business agreement if you are doing it as a career thing, which is why a lot of entertainment lawyers will tell you, when you form a band, sign a contract, put it on paper and say, hey, you know, this is our name, this is who we are, this is what I am to the band, this is what I'm going to contribute to the band. And you know, if we're all putting money in to help, you know, help fund the creation of the band, well, hey, I'm donating, I'm contributing this amount, and we'll continue to contribute however much. Should the band fall apart and we split ways, how does that play out both financially, but also with the with the intellectual property, who owns the songs? You know, you spell those things out.
Yeah,
it can get ugly.
Yeah. So.
And
that's
so
really smart.
When you are just like any other business venture on the face of the planet, we can't ignore those principles when we're in the music business. No. And as we've said time and time again, it is called the music business for a reason. If you are trying to make a career out of it. Now, if you're just out there playing just to play and to have fun and play in local places covers for the weekend, you know, have fun. You know, you may not have to worry about those things. And if you're a solo artist, you generally don't have to worry about those things. Mm-hmm. And so that is some differences. So again, know what your goal is, what your personal goal is. Are you trying to make this your career and make all your money based around music? Or are you just trying to have some fun?
Yeah.
Both are fine. Just know your goal and be able to take action accordingly.
Yeah. I kind of want to ask you guys, when you hear the term they're sellouts, what comes to your mind? Like, how do you interpret that or define that?
Good for them. I told him once, like, don't ban name. I remember him saying, like, there was something that we were talking about, and I was like, would you, maybe you were saying, like, oh, when it came down to it, like, would I, you know, record and quote unquote sell out for like a big pop star that maybe I don't really like their music, I don't really go with the brand, whatever, but you gonna make big bucks.
So real quick before you go there, like, at a definition level, what do you guys believe a sellout is?
I look at a sellout as someone who was committed to a specific concept as an artist, whether that's a musical whether that's a musical genre concept,
creative direction,
a specific vibe, and they're doing really cool, awesome stuff. They find that niche, they find their audience, and they're doing really cool stuff. And then they get a big break, you know, as we see it, we've had that discussion, but as the public sees it, they get their big break and then their sound changes. And they, rather than continuing with the creative direction they had previously, they switch to a more pop, more safe,
more commercial,
presentation of their artwork.
Yes.
Okay. That's how I view that. Is it good or bad? That's another discussion, but that is kind of how I would like define what is a quote unquote sellout in music.
I would agree with that. Like, someone who is just more commercially, making more commercial music, and maybe, I guess, like,
money means more than the creative direction, basically.
And that comes down to, I think, a lot of times, and why we see some of that change is when labels do get involved. You can go back and watch the last episode we had with Anastasia Elliott, and she was talking about how when the powers changed over when she was with Warner Brothers, what happened? They said you can either re-record your album and have a more pop focus, or you can't do it. You can't release your stuff. Nobody wants your stuff is essentially what they told her. So go back and listen to that episode. You can hear some great kind of insights from her experience. But if you're in that position, you have a choice to make.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay with the label and have label funding, have label backing, have label promotion? That's the biggest thing a label provides, in my opinion, but at least.
Not a lot of control.
And you might not get to make everything quite the way you want to. You might not get to make your stuff have that flavor, everything becomes more safe because they're out for low risk, high return. Whereas as a solo artist, independent artist, you can take chances and you can do whatever you want to do and nobody can tell you not to. And if it works, it works. It's awesome. But also if it fails, it fails.
To me, it's like, have you guys ever seen Beowulf, the movie?
No, I've heard of the story.
I've read it.
So you know the gist of the story, right?
Long time ago,
Well, Beowulf, he travels to this kingdom or this place, and he wants to be king. So he has to defeat this wretched monster in order to be king. And, little did he know, the king actually wanted him to defeat the monster. Like, we know the story. But basically, he got what he wanted. He got to be king. And he got all the things associated with that. But over time, he started to feel unhappy. And like the king before him was. And that's why that king wanted him to destroy the monster so the curse could be lifted from him. And so I'm not attributing that to like a record deal, but I'm saying that feeling could kind of be simultaneous of like, knowing that you've got the financial wherewithal, but also knowing that I don't have a lot of say anymore in what is mine. That's what I love about Anastasia, is her stuff is her stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she has control and like she can choose where she wants to go, And, we do ask all of our artists at the end of every, episode with the game, like, who would you collaborate with or whatever? And of course, the right answer is to collaborate with a famous artist. The question for me is, would you be happy doing that? Like, would I have to?
I'd be happy with the check.
Be happy with the check. But if I don't vibe with a collaborating with an artist, I don't vibe with an artist. Yeah. And to me, that's more important of an experience. Mm. The experience is so important to me. And over time, like once the money's there and it's spent and it's gone, it's like, okay, well, maybe was that good? Like, what did I get something beneficial out of that?
Are you still proud of that music that you made?
I'm still proud of that. Like, and that's for me. I want to put out something that I'm proud of. Hmm. You know, that's important. Like, I want to change like people's perspective on how they're listening to something based on, like, I want to provoke an emotion, be like, that was my song that I used to provoke that emotion. So I just wonder, like, how I would like to talk to artists who quote unquote did sell out and see maybe like behind closed doors how they feel about it.
All you sellouts out there,
come contact us. Show. Yeah. Come on the show.
We'll do an anonymous interview. We'll give you the backlighting, you know, and the bar of the eyes.
We need your face, your name, all the clout. I need all the clout.
We'll slightly change your name for the sake of the innocent.
Yeah.
Welcome, Baylor Biffed. What? I don't know. It's just the first one.
Is that the?
But, you know, it's an important question to ask. Like, where are your personal moral allegiances in your business venture? Mm-hmm. Do you align yourself with, I'm here for the craft more than anything and everything else? Because there's a balance. I'm big on believing that everything in life has a balance.
Yeah.
There's very little that we do, and very few decisions that we make that are purely 100% and 0%. Mm-hmm. Right. So now there are some, you know, sometimes it is 99%, 1%, but more often than not, it's probably 60-40 or 70-30.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And when you're making decisions like this or when you are thinking about yourself, you know, where are your priorities? Do you want, you know, are you after making a living doing this and making your money and it's purely a business, you know, 80% and then 20% is, hey, I want to keep true to the stuff that I want to make, but I'm willing mm-hmm. to set that aside. If that's where you are and that's your belief, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're also on the opposite side, like, hey, I'm only here for the music, or not only here for the music, but I'm here because I want to make impactful music that is mine and nobody else can tell me I can or can't. Mm-hmm. Not to say that they can't contribute, but that they, you know, but ultimately that you have the say 80%, and then 20% is like, hey, if I make money, that's great, but that's not the reason I'm choosing this.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that's also fine, but you have to know where you are.
Yeah.
You have to take that time to reflect and decide for yourself, what am I going to do? And if you do, if you sit down and make those considerations early on, before you're faced with any decisions that are going to rely upon that, it's going to make making your decision so much easier.
Yeah.
Because in all reality, you've already made the decision mm-hmm. when you sat down and determined, hey, and then it's simple. It's like, oh, well, this aligns with my priorities. I already made my decision months ago when I first thought about this. And that makes walking away from a deal that might sound good so much easier if that's what it requires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it might require, you know, there's things on this deal I don't like, but it gets me where I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, it aligns with your principles. So if that means, you know, sitting down and writing out a list, you know, I've been around some producers that highly recommended, just as a person, write down your top five goals that you want to accomplish this year. Write down the things that you want to do, you know, in the next 2 years. Write down your big sky dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the things that, like, if you shot for the stars, and you were able to attain that, what is that, you know? Is that winning a Grammy? Is that doing this? Is that doing that? But then also, above all of those things, write down, you know, the top 5, 6, 7, however many you have, or if it's only 2 or 3, that's fine. Things that are most important to you as a person. Mm-hmm. Remove the concept of you as an artist out of it and take yourself as a person. And so whether, you know, if you're married and your family is the thing that's most important to you, that goes at number one, you know? Or if you are, you know, in some other stage of life and, you know, maybe to you, traveling is the most important thing to you, that you just want to travel. That's on your list. And, you know, you make your list. And if you think, okay, every time I'm faced with a decision, does it lead me to fulfill one of these 3 values or 4 values? That makes your decision process so much easier.
Yeah.
Because the decision is already made.
Mm-hmm. I think it's another way of putting it is like making a list of like, these are my non-negotiables.
Yes. Yes.
About who I am.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one thing to say, hey, you need to wear a silly outfit for this music video.
Yeah.
It's another thing to look at you and say, hey, your music, you need to make it more poppy or else we can't play this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, every form of music has to start somewhere. You need to decide whether you're a conformist, like you want your music to sound like other types of music, or you want to invent something like you're trying to innovate a new genre, like, because they're going to compare you to people. Mm-hmm. I think we heard with Anastasia's episode, they compared her to like Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, no, like we're not doing, like, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she completely, that motivated her to like change her aesthetic and like really lean into that. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you guys as artists, just lean into that. Like, find out what your non-negotiables are. Find out places that you're not going to compromise when you're sitting in front of that executive who claims that they know more than you about who you are and what you're going to, who you're going to be. And it's like, again, it's like they do know what's trending. They know all of that. Yes, that there is something to be said in that, and you shouldn't just throw all of that information and analytics away. Of course not. But there should be, as long as you have a brakes system, like you don't just let the train roll down the tracks.
I agree with that.
Like every now and then you pull that brake and you say, okay, this is something, and they'll respect you for that. By the way, most companies that are going to come after you for what you're doing, like, it's because they saw something in you, right? Or else, you know, you have to show them that you're somewhat committed to that, because a lot of these labels, they'll take what they can get.
Yep.
If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah.
So again, get a great lawyer, entertainment lawyer and property lawyer, intellectual property lawyer, and really sit down and hammer that thing out. I think I keep referencing Anastasia's interview, but it's just so good for this topic.
Yeah.
She said, didn't she say she negotiated a contract for like 6 to 8 months or something?
Nine months.
9 months is crazy. But if you want something to get done,
it fell through.
And it fell through.
Yeah.
And so if you want something to be right, if you want something, you have to take the time to really hammer that out. And part of that process is like finding those non-negotiables. So to kind of,
it all comes in. I mean, if you've been watching this podcast for a while, if you're being an artist to try and make it big, to, you know, have a bunch of money, oh, you need to pick something else. Get into sales, get into the medical field, something else, because you ain't gonna make much money. Like, yes, maybe, you know, you do make it as some huge star and you are making really great money, but you need to be realistic and understand that, like, that is not what this is all about. What it should be about is getting your music out there. And I also want to clarify, there is nothing wrong with quote unquote selling out. I think that there are plenty of artists that, you know, huge pop stars who love what they do. And eventually, I think, get into I would use Lady Gaga as an example, where she had this like really weird, crazy, wacky image that no one's really ever seen before. And then kind of moved into a more subtle vibe. And now she's doing movies. Like, at the end of the day, no matter what kind of music you're doing, you need to understand that this is a long, long, long game.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take you 10 plus years to really start gaining some traction. And then it probably will take another 10 years for you to really like be getting big.
Return on investment.
Yes. Yeah. And with artists like that, I mean, she was doing all these weird artsy stuff. Not to say that maybe she didn't like a lot of that stuff. I'm sure she did, but it's obviously she isn't doing the same thing. And of course, as an artist, you're going to change your mind about different things, change your sound, all sort of things.
I was about to say, as an artist, you have to grow.
Yes.
Because as a person, you have to grow. If you don't grow, you know, nobody wants to drink stagnant water out of a pond. Yes.
Except for Christian.
Except for Christian.
You know, it was once told me, you know, if you, the moment you quit, the moment you quit moving is the moment you die, is something that was told me. And I'm like, oh yeah, it just sounds normal, but it's the same thing as far as, you know, your musical growth as an artist. It's the same thing as your personal maturity growth as a person.
Yes.
You know, same thing physically, literally, you know, when you stop moving, you're dead.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with the non-negotiables thing is like, you're going to have so many hard moments as an artist, especially like when you start gaining traction and people reaching out to you and figuring out, but also knowing that figuring out what you can accomplish as an independent artist. And so Anastasia, or we just had a really cool opportunity to talk to Taylor Acorn, gonna get her on the show. And she's a huge independent artist right now. Like, or if you look at Mike Ponder, like go watch his episode. Like he has some really great advice being in the music industry for so long, and he just signed, and figuring out, okay, how far can I make it being independent?
Yeah.
And you know, what am I willing to give up? What am I not willing to give up? And can I still accomplish this thing as an independent artist? And if so, then I say stick being independent, unless you just find a really amazing record deal that is willing to kind of give you a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm.
And another thing we haven't really touched on in this, and I won't get into it for very long, but along with, you know, the things that you're willing to not give up on, your non-negotiables, if you are an artist that is standing on a particular moral ground, whatever that might be, that is part of your non-negotiables.
Yes.
For instance, I can't remember the name of the band, but there was a band that was big into hardcore metal. And one of their big things was sobriety. They had all gone through, you know, different kinds of 12 steps, you know, programs and different kinds of therapies and things like that, and rehabs. And when they came out of that, they're like, we're not getting back into that. Mm-hmm. We don't want to promote that. We don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And so when they began touring again, they specifically and only would play all ages shows at venues that did not serve any kind of alcohol. And even though they could have been huge and they had great music and they had great pull, they were only playing these tiny venues because that's the only places that fit those characteristics for them. But for them, that was a non-negotiable that they settled on. And they're like, you know, if this is what we have, this is what we have. We're not going to do anything else.
Yeah.
And you as an artist, if your purpose is and your mission as a band or an artist is to promote certain things, stick with it. You know, don't settle on that. Otherwise, people will see that and come after you. You know, I think about the whole Lizzo thing that happened a year ago. You know,
go watch our episode.
You know. But if you're going to make that a non-negotiable, stick with it, you know, but that means that you can stick with that. You just might have to be more creative in how you make that happen.
And if you're an artist, that is literally your whole job of being creative, of figuring out how do I do what I want to do? Yep. So you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to take one last break and then we're going to come back with our last segment. So stay with us.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to do our final segment on a topic that's just kind of, I feel like, would be fun to talk about along the lines of what we've talked about tonight, which is we all know there are some artists where we've been listening to them and then they like disappear and then they come back and they're just completely new and they've rebranded. And I think rebranding, we have talked about sellouts. We talked about the concept of selling out last segment. I think there's a difference between rebranding and selling out. I think rebranding is like basically an attempt to either rebuild your career or rebrand it, restructure it to look different and maybe appeal to different audiences. Or would you guys say that appeals to the same?
Absolutely.
Also, I think once again, goes back to changing as a person, like, especially if you're a really big artist, you're probably like, oh, hey, I kind of want to get into this genre. You're going through that right now.
Where absolutely.
Like, you're getting into a whole different genre of music than what your current releases are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are you guys like? What are y'all's opinions on? Like, if you see an artist that you love their music and then they drop off the face of the earth and then they come back with like a whole new thing that maybe you're not as crazy about, do you view that as like that? That's just like a phase in their career that I'm not crazy about, or do you think that's a reflection on the artist in general?
Sometimes you have gut reactions like, oh, I don't like this. Why'd you change? You know, because we want certain things to remain the same. Like, for instance, you know, if Metallica decided to completely rebrand their image, they'd lose their entire fan base just about, because they have this thing. You go to an Eagles concert, you don't expect to hear new music. Why?
Yeah.
Because we have this concept of them and we want to hear that concept of them. We don't want to hear their new songs. Not really.
Yeah.
You know, if you're being honest. You know, we're there to hear Take It Easy. We're there to hear Hotel California, you know. So you do have to, you know, keep that in mind. But if I'm being fair and honest, which is harder to do sometimes when you're emotionally attached to songs and artists and styles, you have to sit down and say, you know what? Just like I as a person can change my personal music taste, I have three different playlists that are three different genres or whatever, you know, or more.
Yeah.
Just like I can have different tastes in what I listen to, they can have different tastes in what they make.
Yeah.
And if you're being honest, you have to accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I always look at it, of like, if there's an artist that I really love their music and then they just completely switch it up, and I'll give it a try and be like, okay, this isn't really my favorite. And I'll be sad about it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm like, but I understand, like, they're an artist and they're trying something new, and maybe they'll go back to what they did, or maybe they won't. And that's also okay. Like, I think just accepting it as a fan, and like, especially like, don't go harass them about it. Like, commenting and telling them, oh, I like your old music, or like, you need to go back to the old so-and-so. Like, that is just so pointless and like literally not going to do anything. It's just rude. Like,
and they're probably never going to see it.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it's just going to hurt their feelings.
Exactly. Like, respect their career as an artist. And like, even if it is selling out, like Metallica decides to do bubblegum pop, period, I'll be first row. But like, if that's what they want to do, then like, leave them alone, or I guess keep commenting, and like, it'll gain them more traction on their new music.
I also think it's, people have such high standards for artists, where it's like they put out one great thing and they're like, they're going to consistently keep doing that. I'm sorry, guys. Artists, hello. Artists are human too. And sometimes we're not able to pump out bangers every 6 months. Like, I don't know. I feel like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you listen to Demi Lovato?
Not, I know like her big stuff. I know some of her like Disney Channel stuff.
Of course you do.
I feel like she started like pop, and now she's like rock.
She's doing rock stuff. Yeah.
I want to. Hayley Williams with that album, a huge like influence on her. So she, like, in her Disney days, she did like pop punk sort of rock,
right?
Very Disney-fied, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, it was still like in the same vein of like, she would always talk about Paramore and how much she loved Paramore. So like, I can see that one. But I feel like more people were like okay with that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are some that are like, the transition is like seamless. And then there are some, like, if Beyonce would just switch to country or something, like, do you think her fans would just abandon her?
Well, her fans aren't the fans of, aren't country fans. They're totally too, not saying, not saying that they can't be fans of both genres of music, because people can be. But by and large, that's not her audience.
Yeah.
And that's also not what she's known for. You don't go to Beyonce to expect
I think
country.
She could now, though, because she released her Cowboy Carter album. She is not country. It's a Beyonce country album.
Yeah.
But it's still obvious. I mean, like, this ain't Texas. Like, it's not like country.
Yeah.
But it's,
it's like hip hop.
It's I've never heard of that before. Alternative.
Alternative
and hip hop. That's so funny. But I
love the alternative.
I think you think about Taylor Swift, someone of that caliber, you know, every episode, she's going to be on every episode. I mean, when she made the switch from country to pop, like, there were some people who hated it. And then, but that is what launched her career. I mean, especially like, you saw it some in Red, and then in 1989, that, like, that was Shake It Off. And, the other songs I can't think of right now, Bad Blood, like, so many just pure pop songs that, I mean, you hear Shake It Off and you can't get it out of your head for the next 2 days, whether you like it or not.
Well, it's like, I think she found something with the whole, like, the country pop, and she found a way to tap into that. Because, like, I feel like the country pop was, like, a Nashville thing and then sort of, like, a Southern thing, maybe a few other part, maybe some California people. But then once you expand into, like, pop, like, you're fully in pop now. It's like, now you're adding these other fans, plus you've got the loyalty of your base country pop fans. And so sometimes I feel like a rebrand can, like, actually gain you a following, but
100%
there's a lot of examples where it does polarize some fan bases. Here's a
weird example for myself. When I discovered Paramore, I was in college. It was my first year of college, and they had just released After Laughter, their album. And I had never listened to Paramore. Like, I didn't even know, like, Misery Business, honestly. And I listened to After Laughter, and it's like, if you don't know anything about Paramore, obviously they were like punk, emo, scene, rock, whatever you want to call it. And then After Laughter, and they had released their self-titled album, and that was a little more on the pop side, but it was still, like, punky, I would say. And then After Laughter was, like, this completely, like, synths, 80s vibe, like, completely different. And that was their first album I listened to, and I love that album so much. I know Luke Robbins also loves that album. I think that's the only Paramore album he really listens to, but it was one of those things where a lot of fans were like, what are you guys doing? Like, you disappeared for 4 years and now you've come back with this, like, 80s album, and it's catchy, but this is not Paramore. This is not the Paramore I know. And then I went back and listened to their whole discography, and I love their old stuff. I love Brand New Eyes is actually my favorite album, but it is interesting because I don't know if I would definitely not have had discovered Paramore until probably within the past 2 years, had that album not come out. Instead, I discovered it when I was 18 at this very, like, formative time of my life. And I feel like it was a bridge into, like, I love pop punk emo music now. Like, I love it. But there are so many songs that I don't know from, you know, my childhood because I just didn't really grow up with it as much. But that was almost a bridge for me.
You know, I think a lot of it comes down to what you heard first and if you liked it. For instance, I think about popular covers of songs, right, that have come out. Like the song Can't Help Falling in Love with You, right? Who wrote that?
Elvis.
Elvis wrote that. Who recently made that popular?
Haley Reinhart. Right?
21 Pilots. They did a cover.
21 Pilots, I did not know that.
They did, I think it was them, wasn't it?
I didn't know that.
Did a massive cover here just a few years ago. And, like, I think they did, what was it, on, like, ukulele or something like that? And if it's what I'm thinking of, and I could be wrong, that might not be the right artist, but it was an artist kind of in that vein.
For sure.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, it was them?
They did. That was not, I know Haley Reinhart because the Extra Gum commercial went in, like, 2015 came out, and they used her cover. She was, she did a lot of postmodern jukebox covers.
Okay. Yeah.
And, like, hers is, like, Rise, like the cursive, like very soft. And so Indie that voice. Song, I feel like, made every, like, ukulele girl get their uke out and sing that song.
Well, either way, the point's still made. The version that you hear first is the version that you're going to fall in love with. I think about Sound of Silence. Disturbed did a version of it, and a ton of people fell in love with Disturbed's version of it. They have some really cool production concepts, but Simon and Garfunkel did. You know, they wrote it. They made it an amazing thing. You know, so what you hear first is going to be what you expect. And so if you hear that out of an artist too, that's going to change your opinion of the artist. For instance, there's a band called Beartooth, which I heard a handful of songs of theirs that they did acoustic. I think one was called Hated. One was called The Lines. The Lines isn't actually an acoustic version, but it's kind of, it's more stripped down. It's more in that vein. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I heard a third song of theirs. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. It was all kind of the same vein. I'm like, this is great. I got to go look up this band because, like, they keep coming up. And then I went and looked up the rest of their music, and it's straight up, like, hardcore metal. And I was like, oh, this is not what I expected. And I'm like, I can't. I was like, I was so excited to find a band that I loved, or I thought I did, but I had the wrong image of what who they were. That was their little side project thing. That was their fun stuff that I fell in love with. So I can't be mad at them for their own image, but I don't love them as a band, although I love their other stuff. I respect them as a band. And I wish they would do more things in the other realm, but that's also their creative decision to take. Or you take, you take The Weeknd, for example. Mm-hmm. I was first introduced to them way back when like Thursday was like their big song. I say big song. I mean, he was still very underground at that point in time. And his genre was very like lo-fi R&B. It was very like, I mean, it's just very lo-fi stuff.
Chill.
Very chill, very dark, like super dark stuff. And I was like, man, this is awesome. House of Balloons came out. Then he kind of redid his first three albums and called it Trilogy. And those mixes are a little different. And they're a little more cleaned up than what he had, if I remember correctly. But anyway, like that whole thing, it was like a really cool vibe. It was very underground. And then, you know, his sound changed. It became, you know, became stuff like Starboy, which was, I think, the first record of his that really, really went like popular, like radio kind of stuff. And it's a totally different thing. It's very poppy. It's very clean production in comparison. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was like, that was a rebrand that I didn't like at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I go back and I'm a little more tolerant to it now.
Yeah.
I think he's also returned some to his, a little more to his original sound with like My Dear Melancholy. When that album came out, I was like, oh, we're back. We're back. Like,
yeah.
To me personally, there was only one song on it that I actually really personally loved as a song, but I'm like, the vibe is back.
Yeah. Well, some artists can afford to just like experiment.
Yeah.
You know, they can afford to just be like, well, yeah, let's try this. Yeah.
And I don't blame him at all. Like at the time I was like, oh, come on, man, what are you doing? You know, you've completely changed your thing. And like, that's not what we built on. I was in that camp of like, you need to go back. But yet if he hadn't made that change, he wouldn't be doing some of the stuff that he is now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and he's come out with some great stuff now. I'm like, this is really good.
Ariana Grande is, I have been a long time fan of Ariana Grande.
Like, she's great.
Since Nickelodeon days.
She's great.
And I loved her first two albums. And then I remember when Dangerous Woman came out and I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. And then now I love Dangerous Woman. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And then Sweetener came out and I was like, I think I like it. And then I end up really liking it. And then Thank You Next came out and I was like, that this is her magnum opus. Like, it was just so raw and real.
Yeah.
And then in 2020, Positions comes out. And let me tell you how many times I've listened to Positions.
It's different.
I love Ariana Grande so much. But when she did that rebrand, I was like, this is just not for me anymore. And it's sad. But there are, I think there are very, 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 very few artists. Probably each person, maybe sometimes, have one artist to where you are with them for their whole journey and love all of their albums. Yeah. I think that as people, like, we just sometimes grow out of their music. And so Ariana Grande, yes, she changed a lot of her music with Positions, but a lot of people love Positions. It's their favorite album, and I just don't get it. No. There are songs on there that I like, but even Eternal Sunshine, which she just dropped, which people are also saying like is one of the best albums, I have also listened to it once, and I know, like, we can't be friends, like, I love that one, and a couple others that I like know, but even those I'm like, yeah, they're catchy, but they're not like, it's not like me listening to Dangerous Woman or Yours Truly or Thank You Next, where I'm like, oh, like, this is good, this is really good.
I think also they're just trying to, some artists may be trying to catch that slope where it's like,
yes,
you all of a sudden there's like a new trend of music that people are into.
I think the country thing is a really big trend right now.
A country thing, even like we talk about TikTok on the show, like introducing new music and all of a sudden something's like caught on and it's like a different genre. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think maybe some artists are trying to ride that wave. I think
that's very true.
And like, maybe I can go get on the come up of this like new in genre of that I'm changing, you know?
So let me ask this question to the two of y'all. What do you think of artists who constantly, maybe even on the same album, from every track are changing what genre they're playing? What do you think as a listener when you find an artist that's like that?
On every song on the album?
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe it's not every song, but maybe it's like every couple songs. Like, you know, like, you sit down.
Yeah.
It's not consistent. And, you know, maybe, oftentimes there'll still be a kernel of them as an artist that shines through if they're good. But like, what do you think of that?
It'd have to be pretty like cohesive, or it be like a concept album for it to work for me. I think like, I love all genres. Like, truly, like, all genres I love. But I think if it was from one artist, if it wasn't like cohesive and it just kind of sounded like a mashup of like different genres, I'd be like, can you do something else? Like, this is just annoying me.
I think I've always been a big proponent of like flow in an album.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is just my personal opinion. When I'm listening to an album and all of a sudden, and it's like an album that has maybe a lot of pop elements or a lot of synth, and then all of a sudden there's like an acoustic track like in the middle of the album. Cool.
Yeah.
But also it like, it took me right out of it.
Yep. I agree with that.
And unless it like has a, like it needs to have, like you said, like a kernel or some identity of like that, the rest of the album, like, and it might be different if it's like a single that's like also on the album, but like you shouldn't build your album around that single. You should build the album and then take the single from the album. Yes,
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, continuity is so important in an album, and that would just throw me out of it.
Okay.
Personally.
The only example I'm thinking right now of like, and I don't know if this is her most recent album, probably came out a year, maybe two ago. Tori Kelly came out with an album.
Yeah, dude.
And I love Tori Kelly. Amazing vocals, amazing voice. And I can't remember the name of that album. I listened to the whole thing. And so...
Sorry. I was thinking of the movie Sing, and she voices the elephant, and how everyone hates the elephant. That's like, happy birthday, dear grandpa. Like, while everyone else is singing happy birthday normally, and everyone's like, I hate that stupid elephant. I want to kill it. Like,
oh my goodness.
So- I have no idea. But
well, she's like, on tour right now with that vocalist guy. Like he's, what's his name? Literally, he doesn't even like have like songs with full band. It's just him as a vocalist, and he like layers his own.
No clue.
It's like I think it's like viral on TikTok now that she's has this like singing challenge. It's like Jacob
Collier.
Yeah.
She's on, you know what? I did hear about that.
She just got off a tour with him, or she's on a tour with him right now. Yeah, and it's like this like voice orchestra.
His last album.
Voice orchestra.
His last album, I haven't listened to it yet, but I hear it's like nothing but vocal runs.
Yeah. So that's an idea. Yeah. Like
it's a concept. It's a concept. Yeah. It's a
rebrand.
That's what I'm saying. Like if it was a concept album, I'd be more open to the idea and trying to like follow it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes too, I'm just like, I don't know. It could come off as like pretentious or just messy
to just do different, just a bunch of different genres.
Our attention span as listeners is like,
that's true. That's true.
You have me for like 30 seconds. I'm sorry. And then if you're, I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts in the comments, you know, and I asked this question personally, because like, as Patrick pointed out, you know, I'm going through like my own little phase of like the stuff that I'm writing is in different feels, different genres than what I've done in the past, you know, rather than being Americana and kind of folk based, like my most recent couple songs I've written are a lot more jazz oriented.
Electronic.
I've been doing some electronic stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what happens there. But like, you know, if I'm to take that, if I'm to take a soft acoustic jazz forward thing and an electronic, you know, kind of, you know, dark pop punk kind of thing, how do I marry that? How do I make that work? Do I make that work?
I mean, I have some people that you should talk to. You should talk to Glitch Gum. I just met this. We'll talk after, but.
But yeah,
like, I think that's where you like need to start getting out into the scene and like meeting people that have done that or done something very similar. Like Glitch Gum is working on an album right now that he's like, I love hyperpop and that's what he does. Mm-hmm. But he is like, I grew up with pop punk and now I'm starting to incorporate that. So he just released a song called Blame on Me with Jack the Underdog, who's a pop punk artist around Nashville. And so just finding ways to incorporate different things like that. What are y'all's thoughts on eras? Because I feel like, especially Taylor Swift with her Eras tour, so many artists now are either being told or have their different eras. I would say Ariana Grande, too. Like, you look at different, like, art of her, and it's like, oh, here's her Yours Truly era and her My Everything era, like, with the cat ears and then the Dangerous Woman where she's, like, it, the bunny and, like, all this different eras. Miley Cyrus, who we've talked about on the show, go watch that episode. Where we go through her entire career of her different eras. And I don't know, like, do you think that has gone too far to where like artists are expected to have eras?
No, I just think it's just telling a story of the artist in a different way.
It's the long form of of all the albums put together. Yeah. I mean, it's basically like going back and looking through a yearbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right? A good point.
And I think it's a cool concept. It really is. It's just another version of greatest hits albums.
Great. I was literally about to say
that's the same thing with a different name.
Do you think one reason I asked that is because with Olivia Rodrigo, she released her album Guts last year and the background was purple and it was still this kind of like angsty pop punky sound, very similar to Sour. And a lot of people were like, this is so boring. We need something new. Da da da. Like, she already did purple, all this stuff. And to me, I looked at that and I'm like, but why? Like, A, the music's still good. It's stuff that I still really like. Like, I love Sour, but I also really love Guts. And I'm like, and who cares about the background color? If she wants to use purple, she can use purple. No one had an issue with Prince doing it. Like, I don't know. So that's where I think sometimes we get in trouble where one artist does it one way and it's like, oh, Taylor Swift has all her different eras. And then like you look at different artists and it's like, well, they're not being different enough. And it's like, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I do agree. I understand what you guys are saying.
Yeah. Some artists are just in it for the music. They don't have as many ideas about their aesthetic and about their, you know, about how they should look or what color should be in the background. Like, they just want to make the music. And
I think there's something to be said about that being important. But I don't think
it is. Yeah.
I don't think it's like
there's a team for that.
I don't look at. Yeah, that too. I don't look at Olivia Rodrigo's two albums and be like, oh, my goodness, they look exactly the same, because they don't. Like, it's different shades, like Sour. She like has stickers all over her face. Mm-hmm. Guts is a lot more simple where she's just kind of laying down. She has rings that say the album name. Like, but I don't know.
At the same time, just like in a song, you have to have melodic repetition. You have to have some repetition as an artist from album to album.
Yes.
You know, because you have to be able to tell your audience without like writing a paragraph about it, who you are and what your identity is.
Yeah. If she went the complete other way, y'all be still be mad at her. And it's because she's a young woman. So all y'all are lame. Anyway, I'm done.
Okay. He's out. All right. So I'm going to ask a random question to end the episode. If we're talking about rebranding, if Shawn Mendes came out tomorrow with a hip hop album, what would it be called?
Shawn Mendes? That's such a random person.
It's meant to be.
I only know one song of his.
I only know like a few.
I know Ruin, which I love.
Oh, I don't know.
It's an amazing song.
Okay, let's use Beyonce. What if Beyonce came out with a EDM album?
What would it be called?
What would it be called? Or like name a song that she would write with like a name of a song. Like an EDM. No. That's a kind of a random genre. Let's do something a little more. I'm trying to think if she came out with like a jazz album, what it would be called.
A jazz album?
Yeah.
Beyonce.
She already has a self-titled album.
No, but you'd have like some fancy like apostrophes and like and the fancy symbols above like the vowels. And everything would be gold.
I don't
chandeliers
know.
With like crystal goblets and cups. Yeah.
You know? Hers would be without music, life would be flat.
No.
Ooh.
No.
To the left. To the left. Everything. Oh, no. Back to the left.
I don't know. That's a weird question. That'd be it's difficult to answer, I feel like.
It really is. If you guys have any ideas what Beyonce's jazz album would be called, or Shawn Mendes. Is it Mendez's?
Mendes.
Is it Shawn Mendes and then the apostrophe at the end?
Oh.
What his you know, hip hop album would be called. Let us know.
And let us know what rebrands you want to see from us.
Right.
I want to start out with bubblegum pop with zero serious lyrics.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to sing first.
That's a must.
I was going to UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly.
Hey, all right, guys.
Sounds like that should come from White Chicks.
We have had a lot of fun, and I'm stuck at outros, but follow us everywhere. su-podcast.com is the website. Successfully-unsigned. Follow us.
Successfully_unsigned on Instagram and unsigned TikTok on unsigned podcast on TikTok. I can't do it either. Wow, I tried to take over and it didn't work.
We love you guys. We'll see you next time.